On Buccaneers, your daily Tampa Bay Buccaneers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's up, Bucs Nation? Welcome to today's episode of the Locked On Bucs podcast. I am your host for today's episode, David Harrison. James Yarko is off for today's recording. I greatly appreciate James covering down for the show for me for the last 2 days so that I can enjoy Easter and then also celebrate my wedding anniversary with my beautiful wife and my beautiful family. Welcome to all of you. Returning listeners, new listeners, all the same, please, if you haven't already, hit the subscribe button, rate and review the show. It helps other listeners, other fans of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers find the show. Of course, when we're not here at the show, James and I are also writing about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers over for SB Nation at BucsNation.com. Find that on Twitter at Bucs underscore Nation. Find me on Twitter at DHarrison82. Find James at JYarko underscore Bucs. Find the show at Locked On Bucs. What an episode for me to return on. What a time for me to be gone, apparently, as well. On today's episode, I am going to weigh in on the Carlton Davis Twitter drama. I'm also going to answer last week's question of the week because all the amazing responses that we received, the ones that got aired and the ones that even didn't get aired, have definitely motivated me to do so. So I want to make sure I chime in on that conversation as well. But first, we're going to talk about an old dog learning a new trick as Tom Brady, your Tampa Bay Buccaneers quarterback, Tom Brady, has decided to enter into the NFT community. That, according to a report coming from CNN's Chloe Melas, not sure how to pronounce that. Sorry, Chloe. But according to Chloe Melas, I'm going to be honest with you guys. I don't know what an NFT is. So before I got ready for this episode, I had to go through, I had to do some research, and I found an amazing article from a web publication called The Verge. And according to that article from Mitchell Clark on The Verge again, he wrote, NFT means non-fungible token. Right, so that makes a lot more sense. So here's what Mitchell wrote about it. He wrote, quote, more or less, it means that it's unique and can't be replaced with something else. For example, a Bitcoin is fungible. Trade one for another Bitcoin, and you'll have exactly the same thing. A one-of-a-kind trading card, however, is non-fungible. If you traded it for a different card, you'd have something completely different. You gave up a Squirtle and got a 1909 T206 Honus Wagner, which Stadium Talk calls the Mona Lisa of baseball cards, that would be non-fungible, end quote. So apparently, so I give you a dollar, you give me a dollar, dollars are fungible. Apparently Pokemon cards and baseball cards specifically, some of them at least are non-fungible, so they're not replaceable. So how does this work? What does this mean for NFTs? Basically, my understanding of an NFT, and if I'm wrong and any of you out there are NFT experts, please, by all means, please feel free to hit me up on Twitter. Again, at DHarrison82 or at Locked On Bucs. Email me at LockedOnBucsPodcast@gmail.com or call into our voicemail line, which I'll give the number to that at the end of today's episode, as we usually do. Basically, from my understanding, it's digital art. It's a one-of-a-kind digital product, whether it be music, a drawing, even, I guess, a tweet autographed digitally, of course, by the founder of Twitter, which was sold, and then they're collected like trading cards or fine art or apparently Pokemon cards. Now, the biggest question, apparently, that some have come up with is how easy it is to replicate or just to, you know, right-click and save a digital file. Especially when it comes down to, you know, photos and drawings. Essentially, the same Verge article that I read likens this to owning a print of a Monet painting and owning the real Monet painting. So basically, people buying NFTs, you're paying not so much for the right to have the exclusivity of the item, more so for the right to say that you own the original of the item, which if it's important enough of an item or coming from a specific icon, athlete, whatever, that's going to be worth some money to you, right? And to some other people. So cool. So basically what this all means is that Tom Brady is getting into the business of NFTs with a company he's co-founding called Autograph. And yes, apparently, according to the CNN report, Brady himself will be featured in some of the NFTs. And then per co-founder and CEO of Autograph, Dylan Rosenblatt, to CNN, he said, quote, Autograph will bring together some of the world's most iconic names and brands with best-in-class digital arts artists to ideate, create and launch NFTs and groundbreaking experiences to a community of fans and collectors, end quote. Other big hitters are involved in Autograph, like Apple Senior Vice President Eddie Cure, Live Nation Entertainment CEO Michael Rapino, DraftKings co-founders Jason Robbins and Paul Lieberman, and Warriors co-owner Peter Guber. Autograph will reportedly also have interactive offerings, physical products, and in-person experiences for sale or auction as well. And the business is booming, right? Because recently a Tom Brady rookie card sold for $2.25 million. If I sold 2.25 million pictures of myself, they wouldn't go for $2.25 million. So Tom Brady, a guy worth his likeness, understands the value of his likeness, apparently getting in on this business relatively from the ground floor. I know it's been around for just a little bit, but I think definitely getting in when the time is right to get in. And another thing you can get into, it's already lifted. It's already been off the ground. But if you haven't gotten into it already, you still have time to get in and get involved with Built Bar, the most amazing tasting protein bar on the market right now. They've got amazing flavors like cookies and cream, carrot cake, apple almond crisp, banana bread, mint brownie. Those are some of my favorites. Every single one of them covered in 100% chocolate. All of them soft and easy to chew. I like them right out of the refrigerator. Some people like to freeze them. However you enjoy them, you will enjoy them. Built Bars are healthy. They're great for the health-conscious person. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber. Great for the keto diet. I had a occupational therapy appointment today. I didn't have time to really sit down and eat lunch. I grabbed myself a Built Bar on the way out there. It was amazing. I ate it while I drove to the appointment, and it held me over until I can get home and then eventually have dinner with my family. One of my favorite bars of them all, I know James is a big fan of it as well, as cookies and cream. That bar alone, it's amazing taste. First of all, it's cookies and cream, like you would imagine it's cookies and cream, but it has 17 grams of protein, 130 calories, 4 grams of sugar, and just 4 grams of net carbs. Right now, go to BuiltBar.com, use a promo code LOCK15, and you'll get 15% off your next order of the best tasting protein bar you will ever taste. Again, that's promo code LOCK15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. Get more of the sports news you need in less time with the Locked On Today podcast. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Odyssey app or wherever you get podcasts. David Harrison now back here for segment 2 of the Locked On Bucks podcast on this Wednesday, my first day back on the show, and unfortunately we've got a topic to talk about that I don't think anybody really wants to talk about, but it is our duty, our responsibility to talk to you guys about it. I know some of you prefer your sports podcast to just stick to sports, and unfortunately that's just not how the world is shaping. That's not how this media thing is done these days anymore anyway. And some of you appreciate, at least we believe that some of you appreciate having a more holistic show here. And when a Buccaneers player does something, whether it's something that we all enjoy and celebrate or something that makes us cringe and flinch, we're going to talk about it because that is our responsibility to do so in the most honest and fair way we can possibly do it. Of course, nobody is perfect, whether it be the Jameis Winston allegations from years ago, police brutality a little bit more recent that kind of encompasses the entire world and the sports community, or the Carlton Davis suite that just happened this weekend. On Sunday, for those of you who don't know, and I'm not going to get into all the nitty-gritty details, if you want to know more about it, trust me, the screenshots are out there. Plenty of people are talking about it. You can find out all the nasty details about it if you want to. But basically what happened is that Sunday night, Carlton Davis decided to send a tweet about happenings in South Florida. And in the tweet was a word that is commonly referred or used to refer to people of an Asian descent or Asian ethnicity. Now, what the word itself actually means, there are plenty of different schools of thought on this whole thing. The way that I was taught the word came about when I was growing up is that it was originally used by American soldiers in Korea to describe Koreans. That was how they used the word they used to identify Korean combatants or Koreans in general. And then eventually it kind of made its way over to Vietnam because essentially soldiers thought that the two populations, the Korean population, the Vietnamese population, looked similar enough that they could be used, they could be called the same, you know, nickname or whatever you want to call it. That's pretty much how the word got started. And then, of course, it was brought back to the States. It was brought back to America, and it kind of spread from there. And it's been used more largely in a disparaging manner. Now, after Carlton tweeted this tweet and used this word, I don't know where the dots connect between step A and step B, but eventually he deleted the tweets. And then he also issued an apology saying that he did not understand the meaning of the word. He didn't mean to use it in an offensive manner towards a certain population or in a racist manner, that he would never do something like that. He's been educated and that he will now make the steps necessary to eliminate the word from his own vocabulary and move forward as a more educated individual. But he did come out and say that where he grew up and where he learned his vernacular and his language, that word did not mean what everybody told him. By the way, this is what it means. He didn't argue the meaning of the word. He said, oh man, I didn't know. My bad. I apologize. That's not my intention. I'll eliminate the word. Now that I know, I will develop into a better human being and I will move forward as a better human being. Now, some people have come out and said, we don't believe him. That how could you possibly not know that's what that word means? Some people have come out and defended him. Some people, I've even had Twitter interactions myself since this whole thing went down with some people from South Beach or from South Florida, rather. I don't know specifically where, but from South Florida, who said that they were in the same boat, that until this whole thing blew up and they saw it happening on social media, they never knew what that word meant in that light either. That they knew it to mean the same thing that Carlton meant it to mean, being from the same area. And there have been several reports where several other people from the same area of Florida coming out saying that they knew what Carlton was saying, that they knew that that's how Carlton learned the word. I even saw one person on Twitter arguing with people saying that the word doesn't mean the racial meaning that it does mean, and that everybody who says it is a racially charged word is actually wrong because he, being from South Florida, knows what it actually means, and it means what Carlton Davis said. To that Twitter person, I will tell you that it may also mean what you think in South Florida, but trust me, more widely across America and across the world, it means what we're talking about here on today's episode. Again, if you want to know the details of it, you can go and find that word easily. There are plenty of screenshots floating around. Like I said, you can find it if you need to. I'm not going to repeat it on the show. And that kind of brings me to my thoughts on the word itself. So the word itself is not a word that I enjoy. It's not a word that I like. And just to apply some context to this thing, okay, I am a Korean person. I am a person of Korean descent, right? I'm an American. Like, if you ask me what my race is, and I always say I'm American. I'm not Asian American. I'm American. And that's just kind of the way I feel about it. Everybody feels their own way. Everybody kind of has their allegiance and what they were. If you want to call yourself an Asian American, by all means, call yourself an Asian American. Me, I call myself an American. Now, if you want to call me an Asian American, I'm not going to fight you over it. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just saying, if you ask me what I am, I'm going to tell you I'm an American. If you ask me if I have Asian descent, yes, I do have Asian. My mother is Korean, from Korea, you know. So on my mother's side of the family, I am a first-generation American, but that's what I call myself, as American. Moving forward on that, I know the word. I've known it since I was young. I've known it my entire life. I've never been directly called that word. I've heard other people using that word. I've never appreciated it. I've never enjoyed hearing that word used. I've never, you know, been fond of the word. I guess it just kind of carries a negative feeling whenever I hear it or see it or you know, what have you. That being said, I can also tell you that in my own life experience, I have had to teach people what that word means. And I'm some very good friends of mine in the past that I've had to teach that word to. And I'm not going to get into the entire story, but basically I had a friend that there was an item that was sitting in front of us, and she intended to call it goopy with a P, right? Goopy, like it's goop, but it's goopy. Does that make sense? But she used the wrong word. When she said it, I got kind of a look on my face, like of more shock than anything. And it was noticed. And long story short, we ended up getting into kind of a lesson onto what words mean. And that group of my friends had no idea what that word meant. They had no idea that word even existed until I explained it to them. So is it possible that Carlton didn't know what that word meant? Absolutely, yes. From just a logical standpoint, that not every human being knows what every single word means. And I don't care how intelligent you are, how much education you have. Trust me, there are words out there that you don't know what they mean. And sometimes they're foreign to you the way they are to other people. And that's kind of what this is. To Carlton, that word had one meaning. To, honestly, a larger portion of us, that word had a very different meaning. But it is possible that he didn't know what the word meant. Now, that's, we're going to get into belief and disbelief here in a little bit. But I had thought of an example as I was kind of thinking about this topic I went through. And as a young soldier in Germany, I met a lot of German people and had some German friends. And something that my German friends, when again, I was like 18 years old, soldier in Germany, and a word that a lot of my friends like to ask us Americans to say was the German word for spruce tree. And I'm not going to say the word because we do have listeners in Germany. And if you're in an environment and you're in Germany where me saying the word incorrectly could get you in trouble, I'm not going to do it. But basically the word for spruce tree in German, if you say it incorrectly, means something different, and it's somewhat inappropriate. Not quite as bad as what Carlton tweeted, but it is still inappropriate and not something you would normally say in a public setting. So a lot of my German friends, they like to ask us Americans to say that word in public, because when we said it incorrectly, usually it got the attention of some people around us and it was funny and they made fun of us for it. Again, not as bad as what happened here with Carlton, but just an example of how you can go into a situation thinking you know the meaning of a word, not understanding what you're doing, not understanding what you're saying. Because I saw a lot of people saying that if you don't know the meaning of a word, you shouldn't be using it. Well, what I will say to you is this. Carlton used that word in a way that he thought he knew the meaning. Well, he did know the meaning of. That word has that meaning where he's from. Like, that's been confirmed by several other people who live, again, in South Florida, been in South Florida. Like, that word means that where he's from. I don't know how it got there. You know what I mean? I don't know how that word turned from a racially charged word to what it meant to him growing up and all that stuff. I don't know. But what I know is that when he used the word, he used it in a way that he knew the meaning of. And what I'll say is kind of what I've always been taught in my life is you don't know what you don't know. So to ask somebody to say, well, you shouldn't have used that word, not knowing the racially sensitive term for that word, he doesn't know that. And you can't not know that. Now, there are some other words out there that are more widely known that you have a harder time believing somebody wouldn't know. So like the example of Myers-Leonard has been brought up to me specifically and across this conversation, and why Myers-Leonard got so ousted and so, you know, ostracized for what he did versus what Carlton Davis is doing. What I would say is I can honestly say that I don't know a single person, and I haven't polled every person I know, but I can honestly say that I don't know of a person who doesn't know what the word that Myers-Leonard said. Now, even going further, I look at Riley Cooper, and the word that he used is a word that everybody knows what that means. So there's definitely different contexts here, right? And the other part is Carlton, what makes me kind of believe that Carlton said this word without understanding the racially charged part of what he was saying is the fact that as soon as he was told, hey, buddy, this is what you just said, this is what it means, what are you doing? He immediately came out and said, whoa, here's where I was coming from. And he provided his context. A lot of these other situations, guys, there is no context. There is an apology days later, right? That's through the team media, through the PR. And it says, I didn't know what I was saying. I didn't understand the true meaning. I didn't understand the true depth of the pain that I would cause, da, da, da. But there's no explanation. Like, if you say a word and then you come out and say, well, I didn't know what it meant, I want to know what you thought you were saying. So that's kind of where I go with this, right? So like if you're Riley Cooper in your concert and you say what you say, and you say, oh, I didn't really know what I was saying, I want to know what you thought you were saying. Does that make sense? Carlton provided that here. So that brings us to the conversation of believing in others. And for me, and this is going to kind of wrap up the conversation, at least from my side point, is I'm going to believe people when there is a potential and a reasonable potential that what they're saying is truthful and honest, right? And I feel like what Carlton is saying, because of my life experiences and actually having taught people who were adults what that word means, that he may not know what that word means. So I'm going to believe him. The fact that he provided the context of what he thought he was saying and that it checks out, right? He's not like the only dude in South Florida who thought he was saying what he was saying. The fact that he provided it and it checks out makes me believe him a little bit more. But bottom line is, I think whether you believe in him, you believe what he said, as far as the context he gave for why he said, and then the apology he gave thereafter, or not, I think we still need to find a place to respect each other. And I don't believe that because he used a word that is racially insensitive towards Asian people, and I'm of Asian descent, that I have an obligation to be offended, okay? And my gut believes what he says. I could be wrong. He could be an Asian-hating racist. He could be sitting at home right now laughing to himself about how so many people are defending him and he got away with it. I don't know. I don't know Carlton. But my gut says that what he says checks out. I believe it. And that's what I'm going to roll with, guys. So if you're expecting me, and there are some people out there who are expecting me to be offended by this, right now, it's not going to happen. If more information comes out and is different, then maybe it'll happen. Those are my 10 cents because the 2 cents are free. Moving on, speaking of money and hopefully making money, you can do so with our friends over at betonline.ag, the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action, because the football games might be over, but the NBA is still going, hockey's still going, baseball is getting going. Betonline.ag even has you covered for awards, TV shows, and reality TV with real-time updated odds and props on almost anything. BetOnline.ag is the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today. And when you use promo code Locked On, you'll get a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Again, that's promo code Locked On for a 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit at BetOnline.ag. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. It's April, and the Locked On NFL Network of podcasts is shifting into draft mode. April 19th through the 26th. Tune in to the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, featuring analysis from NFL experts Michael Irvin, Brian Baldinger, and Michael Lombardi. Stay tuned for more info about where you can find the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021, presented by Odyssey and the Locked On Podcast Network. Wrapping up today's episode on more football talk. We're going to open it with football, well, football player talk, right? It's good business move by Tom Brady. We're going to end it here with another interesting football conversation. The question of the week last week that James issued to everybody is that with everything going on, all the starters returning, which position did all of you view as the position of need for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to address at pick 32? So in the first round, and there were several answers. All of them, honestly, good answers. And I think that's really kind of the point here in this conversation, is that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers really can go any which way they want to go. Now, James also answered the question himself, and unsurprisingly, he said running back. I knew he was going to say running back before he said running back. So running back is not a surprise that he said running back, at least not from me. But for me, I actually have a different answer, and I do enjoy the running back answer. And don't get me wrong, I'm not going to be mad if the Buccaneers take a Travis Etienne or a Najee Harris or a Javonte Williams out of North Carolina, anything like that. Those are all good players, and those would be good investments for this team's future. But when I try to sit here and narrow down the most important, right? So if the Buccaneers were to come in and weigh a position of need above another and use that as kind of a weight in their evaluation process, right? So like if you got Najee Harris at 7.2 in your grade scale and you have Jalen Phillips at 7.2 in your grade scale, which player are you going to take? Well, if running back is your priority, then you're going to take running back. If edge is your priority, you're going to take edge, right? So that's kind of how that works. So while I like the picks of at running back, the options that the Buccaneers are probably going to have at running back when it comes time for pick number 32 to happen, I don't think that running back is the most important position to draft this year given the current makeup of the team. And again, James talked about this before. We sat down and when we did the draft profile series list for BucksNation.com, we sat down, we looked at the future of the team. We said, who's under contract for 2022? Who's not under contract for 2022? What is the potential starting roster look like right now? And that's kind of where I'm going to go with this to get my answer. Okay, so if you look across the board here, you look at the running back position. And the running back position right now for 2022 has Keyshawn Vaughn. That's it. So I get where James is coming from. All right, quarterback position, you got Tom Brady. So you seem like you're pretty good there. Now, granted, Tom Brady is not going to be a next 5 year starting quarterback. Of course, you know, you never know with Tom Brady, but we don't expect, right, Tom Brady to be the Buccaneers starting quarterback for the next 5 years. But even still, you think you believe you have Tom Brady for another year. To me, I kind of go back to what is most important in today's football. And I agree that the running back position is very important. And I think that the running back position in today's game, mostly by, you know, media members, national media, local media, like the running back position and contribution is very, very undersold. I do believe that. Now, don't get me wrong, we're past the days of like Marshall Faulk and Barry Sanders and Emmitt Smith and those guys, but I do think the running back position is still very important in the National Football League today. It's not the end all be all, but it's still very important. So yes, the fact that Keyshawn Vaughn is the only running back under contract right now for 2022 is a big, big flag. You know what I mean? When you're talking about what the most important position to prepare for the future is. But I look at today's NFL and it's a passing league. It's a passing game. So what do you have to have? You have to have a passer. You have to have a pass protector, you have to have a pass rusher, and you have to have pass defenders. When I look at the Buccaneers, what don't they have on that list in 2022 as much as they did in 2021? They have the passer. They have the pass protection because they have both their tackles solidified to square off that pocket. They've got their guards. Their center is really the big question with Ryan Jensen, right? Their pass rush, that's where you kind of have some question marks. And Ndamukong Suh is on a one-year contract. Vita Vea will be coming into the final year of his rookie contract. Of course, you fully expect him to get re-signed and all that, but it still is what it is. And then you look at the pass rush. Jason Pierre-Paul on an expiring contract. Is he going to return? Are the Buccaneers going to want him back? Is he going to retire? There's a lot of questions there. So when you go through the priority list, secondary, the Buccaneers have a young secondary. They've got most of their pieces. Carlton Davis playing on a contract season right now. So when you look at the Buccaneers and you look at the most important parts of today's game, right? The passer, the pass protection, the pass rush, and the pass defense. That's the order for me that you need to have solidified. Now, it doesn't mean that's the order you have to go in to draft per se, right? But when I look at the Buccaneers, I see the biggest hole right now moving forward in the pass rush. So that's why for me, edge is position number one. So that's my answer to last week's question of the week. Of course, I look forward to hearing all your guys' answers. We've already got one or two in the queue for next week's the beginning of next week to answer this week's question of the week, using week a lot. It's starting to sound like a sound now instead of a word. Shout out to Ted Lasso. But that's my answer for this one, guys. We'll have more answers for the next one. I'll have my answer for the next one as well. No Would You Rather Wednesdays. I don't know if everybody forgot about with all the drama going on, but that's okay. No Would You Rather Wednesdays. So if you have any of those that you want to get in later, we can do a Would You Rather, I don't know, Thursday maybe, when James and I come back for tomorrow's episode. Again, if you want to call into the show, call us in at 813-444-5841. Email us at LockedOnBucksPodcast@gmail.com or hit us up on Twitter at DHarrison82, at JR_Bucks, at Bucks_Nation, or at LockedOnBucks. Until we speak again, Bucks Nation, please, if you're out and about, be safe, be kind to one another, wash your hands, and thank you so much for joining me right here at Locked On Bucks.